Hey mama, I want to invite you to something. I am hosting a free anger management bootcamp on the podcast May 6th through the 10th. Monday through Friday, there will be a new episode released teaching you where anger comes from and what goes on in your brain when you feel intense feelings, how to lower your stress and increase capacity levels as a mom, how to shift your mindset to align your actions with the mom that you want to be, and how to break generational anger patterns. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a day and sign up using the link in the show notes so you can get access to the episodes as soon as they drop and an email summary of the daily trainings, as well as access to a live Q&A call on the last day of the bootcamp. Invite one or three of your mama friends so they can learn how to manage their emotions well too. Link to sign up is in the show notes. I can't wait to see you in there. Let's get back into this podcast episode. Do you feel overwhelmed by clutter? Does it stress you out? Does it cause you anxiety and remind you of all the unfinished tasks that you need to do? I definitely can tell you for sure that when my house is cluttered, when I have messes everywhere, when I have piles of things sitting, that contributes to me feeling more triggered with my kids. It's this subconscious thing. I see this clutter sitting around, makes me rethink that I have all these things that I still need to do, which I do, and it's a great reminder of that. And that leads me to feeling triggered with my kids. It makes me feel like my mind is cluttered because your physical environment really impacts your internal environment. And in this podcast episode, you get to meet Emily, who is a decluttering coach. And this is what she specializes in. She is a Christian. She's a believer. We talk about what does the Bible say about clutter. We speak about what to do to get your family on board with decluttering. What do studies say? How clutter affects us and our decision making and our overwhelm. This is going to be such a wonderful episode. She also gives us really practical ways to start decluttering, to make it less overwhelming, to make it simple and easy. And so I want you to welcome Emily to the podcast and enjoy this episode. I have a special guest for us today, Emily, and she is a decluttering coach for moms. And I would love for her to kind of share with us. One thing first is, what have you been loving, Emily? And then we'll go into our interview.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here. The thing that I am loving right now is sleep. My husband has been off and I have been taking full advantage by actually sleeping in, and my kids have been sleeping in. It's like amazing. I don't want it to end. And I have been taking a daily walk, and I have noticed such a difference in my mood and demeanor just getting a little bit of extra sleep. So that has been my focus really for the past couple of weeks. And when my husband goes back to work in a couple of weeks here, I'm going to be really sad.
Yeah.
I'm going to still keep with the daily walks. And then I think instead of working out before my kids wake up, which was what I did for years, I feel like that's going to help support my well-being a little bit better to just kind of do a walk.
I love sleep. I'm not a night owl, and I honestly am not a real morning person either, but I choose to get up a little bit before my kids in the mornings. I need at least half an hour, you know, just so I can feel like a little bit ahead of the day and I can have some peace and silence before the reality of life and multiple kids comes in. But sleep is so crucial for our moods, like very, very important. And I teach on this to my clients and my listeners all the time. Like, sleep is so crucial in order for us to have more energy for emotional regulation, because that takes energy. And yes, when I'm sleep deprived, I'm not a very nice mom. So, yeah. And I think many of us can relate with that, especially if we're highly sensitive. And you told me that you are. And you and I are both highly sensitive. And when you're a highly sensitive person, you are even more sensitive to lack of sleep. You know, you need that sleep. So thank you for sharing that. I think many moms can relate to it. I would love for you to share a little bit about yourself, your journey, and how did you get where you are today? Because you have this amazing podcast called Moms Overcoming Overwhelm.
And it's about decluttering and simplifying and creating a life that supports you. So tell us, how did you get here?
Sure. So back in 2014, my husband and I actually got married in 2008. So we had been married for a while, knew that we wanted to have kids, and unfortunately had a miscarriage in 2013. So we knew that it was possible to get pregnant, but what we didn't realize at the time was that we had something called unexplained infertility, which is pretty much there's nothing physically wrong with you. You're just having trouble conceiving. And so at that time, I was working full time. I was very overwhelmed, even though I feel like overwhelm as a mom is something completely different. But I was sort of the chronic people pleaser, saying yes to all the commitments and obligations and so forth. And then I was like, well, if I feel in my heart of hearts that God has designed me to be a mom, and that is what I want more than anything, I need to be able to make that physical space in my home, emotional space, the calendar space, everything in order to conceive, in order to have that, you know, margin to be able to be successful on this journey. And so I actually found out about minimalism and decluttering at that time. And the light bulb kind of went off, like, oh, there is a way that I don't have to kind of buy into the more is better kind of consumerist culture. And I can actually start removing the things that aren't serving me, whether that be the physical things, the commitments, the emotional toll of, you know, going through in vitro fertilization, which is what we ended up doing, where you have a pretty rigid protocol of, you know, blood work and injections and everything like that. So I was able to start on that journey, focus on what actually mattered. We were luckily able to conceive my oldest via IVF. And then God said, wow, Emily, you're doing so great. We're going to do two under two, one that you weren't expecting. So we call my youngest our free baby. I don't, you know, say that to him. But when he's a little bit older, we'll probably joke about that. But then it was dealing with two under two, which we weren't expecting. And I dealt with a lot of decision fatigue. I had postpartum anxiety, and that foundation of being able to declutter and simplify really helped me get through that phase of motherhood, which was really hard. And it's continuing to serve me now. So now I'm with the podcast. I'm helping other moms who have, you know, being overwhelmed by their clutter or just their, you know, emotional clutter, or like us, Elizabeth, we're, you know, highly sensitive people. And they just know that in order to be the moms that they feel like they're called to be, that something needs to change. So I help them with decluttering, as I like to say, their homes, heads, and hearts. So yeah, that's kind of how I got here.
Thank you for sharing your story, because I think I relate to some of it in the sense that, so when I got on the decluttering journey myself, I already had three kids. I heard about decluttering through a friend of mine shared a podcast called The Purpose Show with Ali Casaza. That's where I heard about decluttering. And so I did not invest into Uncluttered Home. I felt like her free resources were able to help me enough. I got motivated enough with the free resources, and my house had clutter, but it was not insane. And so, but I noticed such freedom and light when you get rid of stuff. Like, the physical stuff, the crazy amount how it affects you mentally, yeah, and emotionally, it was just insane. Like, I remember getting rid of kids' toys in their room. They just had a ton of bigger toys too, you know, and then getting rid of that, and they weren't even playing with it. And seeing the clear space in the house, just like, it felt like a brush of fresh air, like, yeah, for real. I'm like, I could not believe how much it has really impacted me, like mentally, especially, and just like actually starting to enjoy being in the space. Mm-hmm. And so I just remember the huge impact that it made on me in my life when I was decluttering. And when I was like on that journey, I was just like, go, go, go. I wanted to declutter everything. My husband's like, hold your horses. Don't touch my stuff. Like, I've heard this so many times. Don't touch my stuff. Don't touch my stuff. And I did secretly get rid of some of his things that, so stuff that I know he hasn't touched in years, and I secretly got rid of it within that a month, he would ask about them. How? You haven't touched it in years. And now that I got rid of it, somehow, oh, where's that book that my friend gave me? Or I'm looking for that belt. I remember there was like a belt that I got rid of because he wasn't using it. It was years. And he's like, where's that belt? I'm like, I don't know. I can't find it. I didn't want to admit that I got rid of it. And then he would obviously be upset at me. Yep. So we're going to like skip over that part because I know you teach for women to just start with their own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want to touch on how clutter affects our stress and anxiety and even like our physical well-being, because that is something that you teach on and you know a lot about. So talk to me about it.
Mm-hmm. And I like to geek out a little bit on the science, which when we talk a little bit later, maybe about our family members, how it's hard to get them on board. I know my husband is a really big research facts and figures type of guy. So if I'm able to come prepared with some of the science behind this, then he's more likely to kind of accept it that it's important. So clutter is not just extra stuff. So it's not neutral. It affects what I call our most precious resources, which is our time, our energy, focus, attention, our health. And our brain, when we look around, so think about like your kitchen, for example, and you're looking around your kitchen and everything you see on the counters and the sink typically is something that we as moms feel responsible for. I need to put that away. I need to put that in the dishwasher. That needs to be signed. I need to do that. And so our brain sees it as undone tasks. So when you have ADHD, which I know you talk sometimes about, or even if you're a highly sensitive person, you are impacted by your what's in your visual field. It is actually visual stimulus overwhelm to have clutter around you. So there's a couple studies I want to mention. The first specifically about clutter and stress and anxiety. And this is from 2010, where the researchers went with these couples around their home and the women were working. So these were working women and then their husbands. And so going around, and if the women described their home as cluttered, disorganized, unfinished, they had higher cortisol levels, higher stress hormone levels than the women that were describing their homes as, you know, cozy or comfortable, relaxing, et cetera. And the interesting thing is that these women also had a harder transition from work to home. They had greater fatigue. They had more difficulty in their relationships. And also the men did not experience the same rise in cortisol levels. Which all the moms are like nodding their heads because I have very rarely ever met a mom or a woman that is like, oh, my husband cares more about the clutter than I do. Normally it's the other way around where they almost seem like the men don't see it. And so that was kind of an interesting study just showing that, yes, you're not crazy. Clutter is actually stressing you out. So it's helpful to kind of have some of the science behind it. So that would be kind of the first area. And then I'm going to take a break here and then let you speak. And then we can talk about the physical health and some of those studies as well.
You are so right about clutter affecting us mentally and stressing us out. Because I can 100% relate when I see stuff piled up on the table or on the counter in the corner. Like it's like, again, like you said, my brain's like, oh, I have to do this and this and this and this. It's definitely adding to the feeling of overwhelm because you're seeing all these to-do things that you just need to add to your list. And so when I decluttered our home and then we moved a year ago from Minnesota to Florida, and that was like another motivation to declutter even more, which I did. And so I still have a few clutter places in my home right now, but like our big space, our kitchen and our living room and dining room has just the bare minimum, the rug, the couch, the table, the little table next to the couch, and one throw blanket, two throw pillows, and literally that's it. And it's so easy to clean up because there's barely anything there.
Yeah.
And like in the dining room, it's just the dining room chairs, the dining room table, and like a flower in the middle of the table. And that's it. I've intentionally gotten rid of stuff. Even if you remove it out of your sight, and put it in the closet or something. Even that, just you don't see it and it doesn't stress you out as much. But I can so relate 100% to when I see clutter. I remember visiting a friend's house and she has three boys, and I came into her house and they have a lot of toys all over the house. There's clutter everywhere. And I left feeling overwhelmed. I did not feel relaxed. I wouldn't say anxious, because that's not necessarily what I feel. I feel overwhelmed. I left leaving her home feeling overwhelmed, even though it has nothing to do with my home in, you know, in my state. So definitely affects you 100%.
I think that even as a start, knowing those surfaces that are kind of like those hot spots of clutter, whether that be the kitchen counter or for us, it's like the dining room table, and just trying to keep those clear on a daily basis can even help as a very small thing to start with. And when you think of your home, you want it to be a haven. You want it to be the place that you are coming back to where you can get away from the outside world. But if it's more stressful than the outside world. I know women, they'll sit in their cars when they get home. They'll sit there for a couple minutes longer because they just don't want to deal, you know, with what is going to happen when they walk through the door. And just kind of transitioning to the physical health, we talked a lot about sleep and how important that is. Well, one study found that if you're sleeping in a cluttered bedroom, where it's not just for the functions that a bedroom is supposed to have, but you have clothes and you have stuff everywhere, it actually puts you at a higher risk for sleep disturbances and lowers your sleep quality. And we know how foundational sleep is. And the last one, which is kind of funny, but I like sharing it anyway, is that they had women in these messy kitchens and gave them the option between cookies, carrots, and crackers. What do you think that they picked, Elizabeth?
Probably cookies.
Yeah. They did. They picked the cookies because they're in a stressful environment. And if my kitchen ever gets cluttered and it's like 4:30, I'm like, yes, I would love to have some of the kids' random snacks, because you feel that overwhelm and that stress. So it does have an impact on some of these other aspects of our physical health, our sleep, and what we eat. So like I said, it's not neutral, and it is impacting us as well as our kids, since our kids are such sensory beings. So think about the sensory overload that we experience, it's going to be even more so for our kids. So if they do the dump and go with their toys, they just dump it out, move to the next thing, dump it out, move to the next thing. And we as parents go, oh, they must be bored. They're not bored. They have too much. And so if you're able to reduce that, then it's less sensory overwhelm for them. So it affects our health and also the health of our kids.
Yes. And I want to add to when you said like sensory overwhelmed, I can attest to, and I'm sure all of you relate, when the kids' room is really messy and you send them over there and you say, go clean your room, and they don't. They either get distracted or they just like resist you. We oftentimes, especially growing up as a Christian and a believer, it's like, you're disobedient, I'm going to go spank you and make you go clean your room. Have you thought about the idea? Maybe your child is just literally overwhelmed. Yeah. They don't even know where to start. They walk into that room and everything feels so messy and chaotic. It's so hard to start. Just like if I send you right now to a crazy messy garage and I say, go clean that, you will walk in there, unless you're like a decluttering coach, maybe feel differently, but you'll walk in there and you feel overwhelmed and you're like, I don't even know where to start. Yeah. This is so much. This is so messy. I just want to avoid it. So I'm going to do everything I can to avoid it. Cause I relate to that. Like even yesterday, okay, funny story, like our garbage disposal got stuck and it needed to be fixed. My husband needed to look at a tool. I have like a clutter cut crutch in my house. It's on top of my washing and dryer. I have like a counter there and there's a bunch of crap on there. It's just sitting there. I'm like, I don't want to do it because I know it's going to take me a long time, which probably won't take as long as I think, but it's like a year I've been avoiding it. And so my husband's like, where's that tool? I can't find it. And I said, it's probably in that pile of stuff on top of the washer and dryer. He's like, why is it so messy here? I'm like, because it's so overwhelming to just start it. It just looks so messy and I just want to avoid it. And I just don't even want to start it. And so I have parts of my house that look pretty nice and clean. And then I have parts of my house that don't. And because I can close the door most of the time and not see it, it's not a big deal. It doesn't seem that, but it's now talking to you today. I'm like, okay,
yes, you can do it.
I will tackle this yes. week. You need to like text me and keep me accountable. Did you do this?
I will. And I will say in my Facebook group, we do decluttering challenges 15 minutes a day. I want you to just get in the habit and know that you can be accountable to someone. And I'm going to be like, yes, you got moldy food out of your fridge for 15 minutes. That counts. Like it all counts.
And it feels so good.
So I am here for the small incremental progress and I will totally text you and totally cheer you on. I'm all for it.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So as a Christian and as a believer, oftentimes things like this and topics like this are looked down upon and be like, oh, it's just so vain. We need to focus on the spiritual aspect of our lives. And that's kind of the mentality I grew up in. Everything was so over-spiritualized. And even the church that my husband and I attended in Minnesota for many years, it was an American church. I grew up in a Russian Slavic church. And then we went to an American church. A lot of things were really spiritualized. And the practical everyday things were not really talked about. And then even if they were, it was just brushed off pretty quickly. But I quickly realized that I really need the practical implementation. I always wondered, well, what does the Bible say about stuff like this? Now that I'm getting older and I know that there's our spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical aspects of us, it's not just one, right? It's not just a spiritual aspect of us. So what do you believe the Bible says to us about clutter and speak on that?
I will be happy to do so. And I would say that until recently, I hadn't really explored the concept of this, but I've been doing a daily Bible reading plan. And one of the verses that I go back to time and time again, John 10:10, which many may be familiar with, but the thief comes only to steal, and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. So this concept of abundance versus scarcity mentality and how that plays into clutter. So people will laugh at me sometimes when I say you need to have an abundance mentality. And they're like, well, I have an abundance. I have an abundance of stuff. So isn't that the same thing? I'm like, no, it's not the same thing. When we recognize who and whose we are as children of God, that is where our identity and our security is coming from. So our identity and security are not coming from our stuff. It's not coming from what our stuff says about us. It's not coming from our roles, from our volunteer, you know, activities, from really what anyone else is saying about us, or the comparison that we might be looking at what other moms are doing on Instagram and so forth. It's really about the fact that we have intrinsic self-worth. And because we come from that place, we can give what has been generously given to us and have that spirit of gratitude for what we have and generosity to kind of give from what we have. And so when you have a scarcity mentality, it's very, you're comparing yourself. You are thinking, okay, I might need this just in case. I might need to use this someday in some potential, you know, your husband, I might wear this belt someday. Meanwhile, he hasn't worn it in a year, right? And so we can't be receiving what God has for us with open hands if we are clutching to our stuff. So I like to think about it that way. That would be kind of the first place in the Bible. Do you want me to pause before I go on to the second one I like to share?
Yeah, I keep thinking of the mentality of I'm going to need it one day, that lacking mentality. And I think that also oftentimes comes from our upbringing. In childhood, as you probably know, I remember when I was on my decluttering journey, I came over to my parents' house, and my parents are both a little bit on the hoarder, and they grew up in the Soviet Union. They didn't have much, and they like to hold on to things. And my dad's mom, my grandma who already passed away, she was an actual hoarder. And so I think my dad is way less than that, but there's a lot of stuff and there's expired things that were just sitting in their cabinets and that I was like trying to get rid of. And my dad's like, no, don't throw this away. Maybe I'll need it one day. And he would just get really frustrated with me getting rid of stuff that has literally been sitting there for 5 years, all the way in the back in the cabinet. It's expired product that mm-hmm. you would never use. And so it was like that lack mentality. What if I'm going to need it one day? And so I remember watching a YouTube channel by Dawn, the Minimal Mom, mm-hmm. I think, right? Yep. Minimal yep. Mom. And she's a Christian too. And a believer. She lives in Minnesota. I used to live in Minnesota. And I remember in one of her YouTube videos, she said this one phrase. She's like, over the years, we've gotten rid of about 80% of the stuff that we own. Over those years, there's been only a few times where I had to buy something that I've gotten rid of. Mm-hmm. And between those two things, it cost me less than $100. It was like a cord and something else. And otherwise you would have been able to like be creative and use substitute or something, use something else or borrow from someone else. But it's that mentality, right? That is holding people back and keeping them stuck in this mode of overwhelm and clutter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And I would say the other verse that I like to look at, it's similar in that you have to see God as our provider, right? If you're looking at God as being able to provide what we need, then we're not having to hold on to everything just in case, because we know that we're going to be okay. And it's hard coming from childhood where there was not financial security, or there was not security where you didn't know if you would have enough. So I can totally understand that. It is a hard shift to make, but one of the places in the Bible I like to go to for this is in Exodus, where we have Moses, who is explaining to the Israelites what the manna that God is providing is supposed to be for and how it's supposed to be gathered. It's so when we go to Exodus 16, we're going to go right to actually verse 19. And Moses said to them about the manna, "Let no one leave any of it over till the morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. Okay, so that seems kind of strange, like it bred worms and stank. But what does that have to do with clutter? Well, when we are holding on to that which is not serving us, like I said, it's not neutral. And so if we are amassing more than we need and we're holding on to it, well, I might need this. I might need this extra manna, so I'm going to hold on to it. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to understand, I'm going to provide to you what you need. Let go of the rest, because otherwise, if we're holding on to it, it is negatively impacting us in the same way that the manna was breeding worms and stinking. So it might be a stretch perhaps, but for me, I think there's a clear connection. And so I like calling it having a manna mindset, which is that God is providing what we need and we do not need to hold on to more in order to have that security. So that's kind of the other verses that I like to look at.
I love that. I love that analogy and just that mentality that God will provide what we need. And I think that is so right on point. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
I wanted you to say, well, most women probably that are listening to this are like, I'm so busy all the time. I don't have time to declutter. Like, I know it. I get it. I probably should. I see that it's stressing me out, but like, it just feels so overwhelming to even think about starting. Like, I just feel so busy all the time. I don't have time for it. What would you say to that mom?
Well, I hear from a lot of those moms. And what I say is that let's start in the places that are the easiest. Okay. So the longer that you own something, the more meaning is attached to it. And that is very difficult to let go when you have all of these memories and things attached to it. So we do not want to start with the most sentimental grandmother's family heirloom, the onesie that you brought your child home from the hospital in. We're not starting with that stuff, okay? We're starting in our car, which is interesting because it's not even your house, right? But it's a contained space. Most of what's in there is trash. or things that need to be brought back into your home. You can make quick and easy decisions, and then you are starting to flex those decluttering decision-making muscles. And you're like, oh, I can do this. Like, it took me 15 minutes. My car is actually enjoyable to drive in. I'm going to move on to the bathroom, and I'm going to take the moldy makeup and the expired medication and the half bottles of, I don't even remember what this is. And I'm going to get rid of those. And wow, I can find things in the medicine cabinet now. So maybe I'll go to my fridge and I'm going to get rid of those empty containers and the moldy leftovers and whatever. Let's make it easy for ourselves by starting with the places where it's super easy to make those decisions. And most of it is trash or things that are being relocated. Then you can move on to your closet. Then you can move on to some of these harder places. But in my opinion, that's the best way to start getting those small wins so that you have the momentum and the motivation to move forward.
I love that. And I've never heard anybody say, start with your car. I've heard people talk about start in your bathroom or in your kitchen counters or even like your nightstand. Yeah. That's another good place too. And all of them are great, but I've never heard anybody say, start with your car. And I think that is really amazing because like you said, it's a contained space. It's out of your house. Most of the stuff in there, especially with if you have kids, which you do, if you're listening to the show, has trash. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let me tell you this. For a long time, my kids would not eat in the car. It was just not a thing that we did. And in the last year, I think when we were driving from Minnesota to Florida, because we were driving, like I had a one-year-old in the car, like I had a bunch of kids and I just needed them quiet. Yep. And then we kind of started this habit of eating in the car, in which creates a lot of wrappers and trash, and it's just all over the car. And so it feels so good to get rid of that stuff. And it will literally take you maybe even 5 minutes, not even that long. And it just feels amazing and rewarding. And it totally motivates you because I'm that type of person. If you give me 5 tasks to do, I always start with the easiest one. Always. So like cooking and kitchen, I don't enjoy cooking. And it's just, I avoid it. But I have to. But I will try to do everything I can to do all the other things around the house except cooking. And then it stresses me out till the end of the day. Just kind of a side thing about me, my personality. But when I have tasks to do, I will always start with the easiest one. And when I do that, it like, you're right. It motivates. Oh, I accomplished. It's like one of those, what is it? The Debt Snowball by Dave Ramsey. He teaches you like do the small debt, pay that off first. It gets the momentum going. It motivates you to keep going. You know, even though, yes, maybe the biggest clutter place is the one that is driving you nuts the most, but it's so overwhelming to like start it. Mm-hmm. And have you ever tried timing? Does that work? Like setting a timer?
Yeah, definitely timing. And what I actually recommend to the moms of my group is like, my solo episodes are 15 minutes. So just be like, okay, I'm going to listen to one episode. And then as soon as it's done, I'm done and it's okay. And so if you're starting always in a contained space, so notice I said the car, I said the medicine cabinet. I did not say take every single thing out of your closet. And then 15 minutes later, what do you have? You still have a bunch of stuff all over your bed and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? The kids are going to get up from their nap soon. And so you always want to start with kind of a small contained area. And then being able to look at that as a container. And actually Dana K. White, who has a podcast called A Slob Comes Clean, she is the one where I learned this from, the container concept. You pick a container and then you fill that with the things you use and love first. Anything that doesn't fit gets to be donated or thrown away. So a bookshelf is a good example of a container, you know, a drawer, the medicine cabinet. And so that way you're not like, oh, I did 15 minutes and there's stuff everywhere. Ah, you can actually handle that and get the whole task accomplished within that 15 minutes. So that's why I think it's very powerful to work in small spurts like that.
And it feels so manageable and doable. So if you're really struggling with decluttering, go head over to Emily's podcast. It's going to like, I know that for me, listening to shows that talk or even watching YouTube videos or anything that has to do with decluttering, it really gets me motivated. It's one of those things you're like, well, how do I start? How do I start? Listen to stuff that's going to motivate you to start, or watch mm-hmm. a YouTube video of somebody decluttering while you're decluttering or something. Yeah. You know, it really, like, what you consume affects you. Like, mm-hmm. If you're consuming content, consume content that's actually motivating you and inspiring you to do something versus just sit on your butt and scroll, you know, through Instagram reels or something like that. It's actually inspiring and motivating. So I would totally have you go over to Emily's podcast. Go check it out. Mom's Overcoming Overwhelm. What a great name. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. So what about family members?
Yes.
That, like, if you have a spouse, like my husband, don't touch my stuff. Don't touch my stuff. Or your kids that, like, don't want to let go of things. I know that one of the things that usually most decluttering coaches teach, not to declutter other people's stuff behind their back, or even don't even touch their stuff. Most of the people say respect their space. Don't touch your husband's stuff. Don't touch your kid's stuff. Like, talk to them about it, but don't do stuff behind their back, because it will lead to frustrations mm-hmm. and rupture in relationship. Because I wouldn't want anybody to get rid of my stuff.
Yeah.
Even if I haven't touched it for a year or two, don't touch my stuff. And so talk to me. If you have a husband that's not on board, because mm-hmm. I know there's moms that are listening here. My spouse is, mm-hmm. no way.
Yeah, I would say that the first question I always get is, where do I start? And the second question is, how do I get my family on board? Mm-hmm. So I'm very used to answering this, but you're right in the fact that we always want to be setting the example. And so we're starting with our own stuff first. Number one, end of story. And so hopefully when you are setting that example, your family is seeing some positive changes in you. And especially with what you teach, Elizabeth, just sort of in your emotional regulation, in your mood, in your demeanor, how you're interacting with them. And so when we're saying on board, it's important that we differentiate between being on board and them being, like, so gung-ho, they're going to go ahead and declutter everything they own. That's not realistic. That's not what we're going for. We want to just make sure that they understand why it is important to us and what we're doing, and that our spouses can support us in that journey. And if my life is any indication, you know, I started this back in 2014. Now my husband comes to me constantly with things that he wants to declutter. And I always am just offering, like, hey, I'm going to post some things to my Buy Nothing group, or hey, I'm doing a Goodwill drop off. You know, do you have anything? So it's been a process, though. I think what we talked about at the beginning about the science behind clutter, the biblical, what the Bible has to say, you know, the biblical mandate, I guess you could say, for living a clutter-free, simpler life, you have to look at what is important to you and then be able to really understand that in order to articulate that clearly to your spouse. So I'm not going to go bug my husband when he's, you know, playing a video game and be like, this house is a mess and I'm sick of it and I can't take it anymore. That's not going to be a productive conversation. So first, we're clear on our why and how it is affecting us and our kids. And then you want to think about their reasoning style. So like I said, my husband's very facts, figures, research oriented. Maybe someone else's husband really loves experiences. So we can look at, well, if we have less stuff, we have more money and margin and bandwidth to go on trips or to be able to do things that are fun with our family. You have to think about what they're going to care about most. Maybe it's finances, saving money, right? So if you are not buying as much stuff, you're saving money. So it depends on their reasoning style. And then you want to figure out when you and he hopefully are going to be the most receptive to a conversation. So for me, that will not be the 2 weeks before my cycle, where I tend to be very sensitive. And I want it to be more when I am more open to getting feedback from him, because you will be getting feedback, right? So when are you most receptive? What time of day? Figuring out what works for him. And then when you're actually having that conversation, talking about why it's important. You know, I'm feeling stressed. I'm really struggling here. I feel like this clutter is stressing me out. I feel overwhelmed all the time. It's affecting how I interact with you. It's affecting how I interact with our kids. I'm really trying to declutter and simplify because I feel like I am not the mom I want to be. And so I was wondering if you could give me some feedback and guidance on whether, you know, maybe I could take an hour while you take the kids to the park. Maybe you have some ideas about how we can have the kids' rooms not be so crazy, because I feel like they can't even find anything in there, you know? Get the feedback from your husband and also really speak to why it's affecting you and your health and why you need help. And if your husband loves you and supports you, then he's going to find a way to help you walk through it. And then he's like, wow, this is amazing. This is actually a really good thing. And hopefully he will start doing it for his own stuff too.
Yes, I love that. I love that you teach the approach of like in a respectful way to come along, you know, versus just like demanding, like, this is what I want. This is what we have to do. Cause that never goes well. Right. Everybody gets defensive when someone, you know, tries to have a conversation with them like that. And one of the biggest things I noticed is the amount of time I had after I decluttered, how much more time I had, like legit, that seemed like the biggest thing that improved was just like time for me. I felt like I had more time to get stuff done because my house wouldn't get as messy as much. It was easy for me to clean up. It was easy for my kids to clean up. It didn't take so long. And I felt like I had a lot more time. And honestly, part of the reason I started this business was so I first started decluttering stuff that I learned from Ali Casaza. And then I bought her course Unburden. And it was just kind of decluttering my life in a sense, like my days, my time, being more intentional with how I spend my time and creating more rhythms and routines in your days that like support you. And once I started doing that, like I felt like I had so much more time in a day. Like it literally felt like everything was just kind of going on autopilot and everything seemed just like flowing way more easier. And I'm like, okay, now I have like 3 hours a day and it feels like I have nothing to do. That's how I started my business, really. Like it really truly felt like that. And so for some people, maybe it starts with mental stuff and schedule stuff. For me, the beginning was declutter. That's not my areas of expertise. That's definitely something that is contributing to stress for many moms. And I do mention that, but usually I bring in guests like you that talk more about it in depth because that is your specialty and that is what you focus on. So if you're listening to this, mama, and you're struggling with this, reach out to Emily. She's right there. Emily, talk to me a little bit about how you support women and the coaching that you offer.
Yeah, of course. So I have a Facebook group, a growing Facebook group, and that is completely free. And it's fun because we do every other week, we do these decluttering challenges, which are 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And then I do like, you know, gift cards for Starbucks or free coaching with me and so forth. So that would be if you're like, okay, I just want to get started and kind of get some accountability, that would be a great place to start. And otherwise, the decluttering coaching that I offer is virtual, but also in person. If you are in the DC, Washington, DC metro area, I actually come to your home. We can tackle the playroom, we can tackle the kids' rooms, whatever it may be. And can do that virtually as well. I just helped a friend of mine with her books for her kids. And it was really like, okay, here I am. Let's go ahead, take everything off the shelves. Let's figure out what the container is. Start with what you know, use and love. And she's just been blown away, like you said, with the amount of time that it is saving because her kids are actually using the reading nook. Her baby is playing with the toys and reading, quote unquote, reading the baby books because he can actually get to them. So it's really looking at your space, how it makes sense, and then how you want it to function for you and being able to help you with that. So I can do that in person or over Zoom or whatever you like. I am here to help.
Thank you. And tell us a little bit about your podcast too.
Oh, of course. Well, as you have so kindly said, it is called Moms Overcoming Overwhelm. And wherever you are listening to this podcast, you can find me. And right now I'm doing one episode a week, but when my youngest starts kindergarten soon, I'm planning to do two a week. And I try to keep them short because I know people are like, I don't have time for anything. So try to keep them short, right? But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on Emotionally Healthy Legacy. It was such a pleasure to chat with you.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
I really hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. And here are the takeaways from this episode. Clutter raises our overwhelm levels, our stress levels, and our anxiety levels. Studies have proven that. Clutter can also lead to you making poor choices in the moment. For example, eating cookies because you're stressed out because your environment feels cluttered. Number three, Jesus came to bring us abundance, and we need to shift to abundant mentality instead of scarcity. Oh, what if I need this one day? God is our provider, and He has everything we need. Number four, start decluttering in an easy contained space. For example, your car, a medicine cabinet, a bookshelf, a fridge. It is contained space. It feels less overwhelming, and set a timer for 15 minutes. And number five, to get your family on board, help them understand what you are doing and why you are doing. And maybe even find videos about what clutter and explaining to them what clutter does to us and how it makes us feel. And it's going to be much easier to get your family on board. And also, give them patience. Give them patience. It takes a little bit of time for others to see the effects of it. And once you start with your space, they will see how it's impacting them as well. I want to share with you something. I want to share with you a favorite Amazon product. And it is something that I use daily, and it is a stress relieving tea. So I will link it in the show notes. It's a yogi tea. It's a like six different boxes, different types of teas for bedtime, for calming, for relaxing, for stress relief. And one of my favorite ones is the lavender stress relief tea. And it's amazing. It's awesome. And I drink it throughout the day. I actually enjoy that one the most. But I will share with you the link with the tea that I drink on a regular basis. And if you join my coaching program, you also get a gift that gets delivered to your house, a gift package with like a new journal and pens and a candle and pampering stuff and also tea to release and reduce stress. My friend, thank you so much for showing up here. I am so glad that you were here, and I hope you found this episode helpful. And if you have, share it with a couple friends. Just text it to them.
Hi friend, did you learn something new or found value in this episode? If so, would you stop right now and share this episode with one Christian mama friend who has young kiddos and could benefit from this message? Word of mouth is the best way to spread the word and grow this podcast. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, would you please rate and review on Apple Podcasts so I know that this content is helpful and I can continue to create more episodes. This is really the only way for me to know that you are blessed by this podcast. I'll see you soon, my friend. God bless you.